This is Jim Eagster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. It's showtime at the Capitol and at the Louisiana Superdome. Tonight, LSU faces Clemson for the national championship in college football. LSU trying to win its first NCAA football championship in 12 years, and Clemson trying to win its second in a row and its third in 4 years. LSU's a 5.5-point favorite. We'll visit with former LSU great Bo Strange, who was a member of the 1958 team. That team culminated an unbeaten, untied season, the only perfect season in modern time for LSU, on January 1, 1959, with a 7-0 win over Clemson. And this team, the 2019 team, is trying to become the first perfect team since 1958. 877-217-5757 is your number. And if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. And we start with State Representative Steve Carter. And he is that for a few more hours after 12 years in the Louisiana legislature. Also, former LSU Associate Athletic Director, 1987-1995. Former LSU tennis coach, former LSU tennis great. And he has some thoughts about what's going to happen in New Orleans. But let's go to the Capitol first, Steve Carter. What is going to happen with the state house? We don't know who the speaker is going to be.
I don't know. I passed by yesterday. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to go by the Capitol, but it looks great for the inauguration. It's a shame it's raining. And I was there yesterday just briefly to pick up some stuff. And they were saying that due to the weather, they may have to move the ceremonies into the house chamber. And they were busy trying to put chairs together. It'll be cramped. It's sad because it looks great outside. But, you know, it's interesting times. I mean, of course, John Bell being reelected, and then it end up having more and more, it seems like, Republicans elected to both chambers. The Senate, of course, has a supermajority. The House is a little short, and they've been infighting. I had gone to the basketball game the other night, and Johnny Berthelot came down, Representative Berthelot, and I kidded him a little bit, saying that most of these problems are due to you. Remember, he decided that he was not going to run for reelection, and he was sort of the odd zone compromise like we had last year with Taylor Barra. And he probably would at this time be speaker, but of course he's not running for reelection, so it threw everything into a turmoil a little bit. And Stuart Bishop had worked very hard to become speaker. And then when Paige Cortez, who was an outsider, became president of the Senate, he's from Lafayette, and Stuart Bishop's from Lafayette, so it eliminated, to a certain degree, Stuart. So it'll be interesting times this morning around 10 o'clock.
Do you wish you were there?
I loved it, to be honest with you. It sounds crazy because most people say that you ought to be happy that you're not there. And the main reason I liked it, I liked the camaraderie, and I liked the fact that I had an opportunity to try to make a difference. I enjoyed some of the bills that I filed. I thought that they were a little bit out of the box. It was fun to try to make a difference, and I enjoyed that portion of it. But it's what it is, and so I'm on the outside now looking in, and I wish everyone the very best of luck.
And for those unfamiliar, I suspect most of our audience knows, Steve Carter lost his state Senate race by 4 votes.
All right.
He would have certainly defeated Beverly Brooks Thompson in a runoff, as did Franklin Foyle in a conservative district, but he lost by 4 votes. There was a recount. And you got to think, if you knocked on 4 more doors, you'd be in the state Senate.
I'm still looking under a few tables and pot plants and what have you for 4 votes. Just joking. But, well, you know, that's hindsight. We did the best we could do. I thought we ran a good race. Franklin was a very formidable opponent and a good friend and a great guy, and he'll do a good job. I just had a few things that I'd like to continue doing, particularly on the education side and the infrastructure side and on tax reform. So that's why I ran. But it is what it is.
877-217-5757 for Steve Carter, who was a good public servant. And he spent most of his life, at least in the last 33 years, in public service. And you had a few ventures here and there. And he's a businessman as well. He took the job seriously, and you were known for education reform, and I know you're very close to John White. Was it a surprise that he decided to step aside as superintendent of education?
Jim, it was to a certain degree. He and I are very good friends. He's a great guy, and he did an unbelievable job when I was chairman of House Education, and Conrad Appel was on the Senate side. We worked very, very closely together with all the reform, and he's very bright, very sharp. And it's a tough job. It'll wear on you. And he was there, which I was surprised. You probably knew it, but he was there for 8 years, which is the longest state superintendent of education has held that position in the state of Louisiana. So I assume that he decided that this was a good time to leave. The BSEE board is in real good shape. But I thought he was going to stay on for a couple of more years and then probably decide what he wanted to do. And I know he's been offered jobs, but he loves Louisiana. He enjoyed being here. He enjoyed what he was doing. And I was surprised that he decided on one day just to say, hey, I'm going to hang it up.
Well, there's all kinds of movement going on right now. Not only is John White leaving, Rebecca Gies leaving, King Alexander has left. Think of leaving at this time.
I thought he was hanging on for a while.
He could be presiding over a national championship, but instead he hightailed it to Corvallis, Oregon, where he will take the helm at Oregon State. But he has been in town, King Alexander has. Joe Oliva hasn't. He's in Sarasota, Florida, but he had a lot to do with LSU getting to where they are, and they're on the carpet at the Superdome, and it's a championship matchup between LSU and Clemson. Now, there is a rumor, this is the rumor of the day or the week, that NCAA President Mark Emmert, former chancellor at LSU, has inquired about the LSU president's job. Have you heard that?
Yes, I've heard that from a couple of sources, and that's interesting. I know that being involved with the NCAA, much less being its czar, is a tough job. You got to please a lot of people, and a lot of tough times going on right now. And I know he loved what when he was here. He did a very, very good job, and he left here on a high note. And it's interesting, but that's what I've heard. I've heard that he may be interested in the job. And if that's the case, the way they're going to do the position, the search, it seems like it's going to be open, meaning that, you've got to let people know, like he is, that you're interested in the job. And most people have good jobs, that are good people, that would be interested in coming here, don't want their name circulating.
But I do recall in 1999 when he got the job, and he left a job that was comparable as head of the University of Connecticut. They'd had two NCAA basketball titles with him at the helm. He put his name out there publicly. He was listed as a finalist, and he was obviously the most qualified candidate. He got the job. That was for chancellor. Now the jobs have been combined. It's a more attractive position. He left LSU as a championship football team, and now if he were to take the job, he perhaps would be coming in with a championship. And he's the one, I believe, who said that football is the front porch of the university. He knows the importance.
Right. He did, and he, of course, was heavily involved. If I recall, you correct me if I'm wrong, you're very good at this, in the hiring of Saban. I mean,
he was a big part of that.
Oh, yeah, and that's because he recognized the fact that football attracts a lot of students and brings in a lot of money and does the things that are necessary to make the wheel turn. So he's a real deal, and it'd be interesting to see if he is interested, if anybody else will apply.
Well, you're right. He dabbled in athletics, and it was your colleague Joe Dean who said that it was a done deal. Saban was coming here, but he was making $600,000 at Michigan State at that time, and he wanted $1.2 million, and he tells Mark Emmert, he says, I can get him for $800,000.
Oh, yeah.
And Emmert, no, pay him whatever he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did, and it turned out okay.
It turned out to be a win-win for everybody.
But he's not coming here unless he gets a multi-million dollar package, let's face it.
Right.
So
I'm sure of that. And, of course, LSU is doing extremely well from an athletic standpoint, particularly from a monetary standpoint. And the university has lagged behind with its foundation and with its fundraising efforts, but there's a major push now to raise a sizable amount of money. And we need to do that because all the other institutions are doing it. And, you have to pay the professors, you have to pay the good people because they're in high demand. So hopefully LSU will be in a position through its foundation and through athletics to do what it needs to do to hire the right people.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about the prospect of Mark Emmert returning to LSU as president and chancellor. And my guess is that Jay Darden, being the shrewd bean counter that he is, if Emmert were to be a serious candidate, Jay would probably step aside.
He would. And also another gentleman who's interested in the job who have a lot of respect for is Stephen Morey. And I'm sure – and he's got a great position right now, but he – it seems, which is interesting, that there's so many people who do a great job for our state and they're well-known. When they leave, they always want to come back, which tells us that we have a great state.
It is amazing how LSU and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they remain a catalyst for bringing people back. And despite headlines like the one in The Advocate yesterday, LSU has the edge on the field, but in academic rankings, Clemson dominates. Yeah. Now, most people would be embarrassed by that.
Right.
But if LSU wins tonight...
Forget it. No doubt about it.
And LSU is favored. We'll talk more. Another segment coming with Representative Steve Carter after this timeout. Your number is 877-217-5757. Back after 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Our guest is Steve Carter. For a few more hours, State Representative Steve Carter. In a couple of hours from now, Governor John Bel Edwards is going to take the oath of office again as the 56th governor of Louisiana, reelected to a second term, becoming the fifth governor to do that since the Constitution was changed. John McKithen, Edwin Edwards, Mike Foster, Bobby Jindal, and now Governor John Bel Edwards. He is from Amite, Louisiana, population 4141. The speaker, most likely, seems to be Sherman Mack from nearby Albany, population 1,088. So even though the big cities of New Orleans and Baton Rouge determine the governor's election, it's small-town guys like Edwards and Mack who are running the show, and that's the Louisiana tradition. There haven't been all that many governors from Baton Rouge or from New Orleans. David Treen, by the way, was born in Baton Rouge but did not spend much time here as a youth. And Bobby Jindal, of course, is a Baton Rougean. 877-217-5757. And our guest is from the capital area as well. And Steve Carter, you're old enough. You're a boy, but you remember 1958, don't you?
Do I?
Were you there?
Oh, absolutely.
You were at the
I was
Sugar?
At the game. Absolutely. Did no, you? I, no, I was at 58. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of the game. I was there when Billy Cannon had his run.
In 59.
I was there because I either sold programs or peanuts at the football game. And when the game started, I quit and went and sat on a step right on the 50-yard line and watched the game. But, I mean, those are the good old days. That was great.
Well, so much in football is luck and timing. And when Steve Carter came in as associate AD with Joe Dean in 1987, LSU had already hired a football coach. You inherited him in Mike Archer. And Coach Archer was well-received by Joe Dean, who didn't try to undermine him, as some ADs would. He had two good years and then had two bad years and he was gone. I think you're still close to Coach Archer, aren't you?
Well, Coach Archer, his wife and my wife got to be very, very close. And we kept in touch, and he bounced around. And in one year, I wanted to go to a Penn State football mm-hmm. game. So I contacted Mike, and he said, well, Steelers are playing that weekend also. So why don't you go to the Penn State game and then come on in to Pittsburgh and be my guest at a Steeler game? We did that. That was a great weekend. Penn State was really interesting how they organized and operated their football game day facilities and parking and everything else that they did. And so we went up and visited him then, and now he's bounced around a number of places. He, was at Kentucky and was at Virginia, and he, mm-hmm. I think, if I'm not mistaken, with the Toronto Argonauts and the Canadian football. And I thought he's a very good coach and a great guy, but he may have just been too young at the time to assume those responsibilities.
Well, when Archer was fired, LSU hired Curly Holman, and that's, in retrospect, a disastrous hire. But at the time, Curly Holman had had success at Southern Miss. He 23-11 in 3 years there. They beat Alabama. They beat Florida State. They beat Auburn. He looked like a young, up-and-coming coach. And to put it in perspective, on paper, Curley Hallman at 23-11 was a better hire than Ed Orgeron, who came to LSU as head coach with a record of 16-27.
Isn't that amazing?
You just never know, do you?
No, I had to hire coaches. So when I was at LSU, I was in charge of the what they call the non-revenue. That'd be golf, tennis, you know, swimming, et cetera, et cetera. And we had to hire a golf coach. And I always thought that golf at LSU, because they had a tradition and they had a rich history, was a very important hire. And I worked hard to try to make sure that I hired the right guy and worked hard at visiting with people and doing what I needed to do, and thought I'd had to made the right hire. And it turned out to be not the right hire. Not that he was a bad person. He just couldn't identify and relate to the public and couldn't do the things that were necessary to recruit. So you never know. It is an interesting sort of a crapshoot, but you can work hard at it. I'll never forget when Joe hired Curley. A number of people who were very influential in the football world, not only in college but in professional ranks, told Joe to hire Curley and don't look back. And we hired Curley, mm-hmm. and we looked back. So it's tough.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org to get in under the wire with Steve Carter, Coach Carter, and Representative Carter for a few more hours. And listener Tracy at the Capitol asks if you were – hired Pat Henry. Were you involved with that, or was he already here?
No, we hired him. Remember, they had the problems with Lauren Seagrave, and then Boots left, and they were going to put Lauren in, but decided not to, and ended up hiring Pat Henry, and that was a great hire. Pat's a wonderful guy. You got to give credit to Joe for hiring Pat.
Okay. He won 27 national championships at LSU. In track and field, and then went to Texas A&M because he was making less money than the women's basketball
coach.
Correct.
How do you remember that? That's right. That was a tough.
And he's won national championships there too.
Yep.
But LSU has won more national championships in all sports than any SEC school.
Right. It's primarily because of Pat Henry.
And Joe Dean and Steve Carter won more national championships than any administrators, and it's because of Pat Henry.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. He could recruit. He could do everything that was necessary to put out on the only thing he got frustrated with was he thought he had a good product and he couldn't put people in the stands because the doggone track meet is sort of like a swim meet. I mean, you go at 8 o'clock in the morning, it may not be finished at 9 o'clock at night. But he put some world-class great athletes on LSU's track. And a lot of those world-class fast athletes – ended up being wide receivers at time with the LSU program. And if I'm not mistaken, Odell Beckham's mother, didn't she run track at LSU?
She did.
Yeah.
And she became a track coach.
Yep.
And she's been on this show. It's an amazing story in that she didn't know she was pregnant and until about 6 or 7 months into the pregnancy and had Odell Jr. And then she said she was running up and down the stairs at Tiger Stadium with baby Odell Jr., and she won a national championship both years, and in between had Odell Jr.
That's
and
amazing.
Her a great quote from her, she says, "I guess he hit the genetic lottery." And his dad was the leading rusher at LSU for 1 year.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but Steve Carter has served his state and our city well, and your friend Franklin Foyle, who won, was here, and he says everything's been patched up. Is he exaggerating?
No. Franklin and I have been friends for a long time, the problem was that I wasn't sure if I was going to run or not, and he had decided he was going to run before I decided I was going to run, and I think that maybe upset him a little bit. But they had a number of people, particularly on the education side and a number of other areas, people came to me and said, you have a tendency to file bills that are necessary, and not that he doesn't, but I'm just saying his passion was different than mine. He has a special needs child who's a great guy in Andy, and he spends a lot of time on special needs, and I spend a lot of time on infrastructure and education and tax reform and what have you. So they came to me and said, "We still need someone to do that kind of stuff. Would you please consider running?" And I did, and we ran.
Well, what do you think about tonight?
I don't see any way Clemson can beat us. I mean, unless the layoff for the couple of weeks has something, to do with the fact that we're firing on all cylinders. So, I mean, I just don't see how they can beat us. The only way I can see if something disastrous would occur, Minnesota Vikings come in and they schemed Breeze pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Clemson defensive coordinator, who happened to be Burrow in the practices, is pretty good. And unless he comes up with a scheme to stop, you know, our quarterback, I just don't see any way in the world that they can win. That's just my personal opinion.
And quarterback is the marquee position in all of football. And tonight, two guys who are great, not good, but great, mm-hmm. will be at the quarterback position. Trevor Lawrence, who's 20 years old, just turned 20 on October 6th. He was the most heavily recruited player in the history of prep football, coming out of Cartersville, Georgia, and going to Clemson. Got to think it was a good decision for him. And Joe Burrow, we know his story. It's an amazing story. 5 years in college. He's 23 years old, and he won the Heisman Trophy, and he'll be the first player taken in the NFL draft, no matter what happens tonight.
I agree.
No matter what happens.
And a good thing about it for Joe is it looks like the Cincinnati Bengals will draft.
That might not be so good.
Well, but for him, being in Ohio, as good as he is, hopefully he can turn that program around and that franchise around and make things better with him being at the helm.
Well, thank you, Steve Carter, who opted not to go to the Capitol to be with us this morning. So we'll be in touch, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
That's great.
We'll return with former LSU great Bo Strange. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana on Inauguration Day and Championship Day. We know the Tigers will win tonight, whether it be the Clemson Tigers or the LSU Tigers. And on January 1, 1959, in the Sugar Bowl, New Orleans, LSU completed its championship season with a 7-0 win over Clemson. Billy Cannon threw the touchdown to Mickey Mangum, the only score in the game, and on the field that day was Bo Strange, great defender and a great player, perhaps overshadowed by some of the others on the team. And Bo has noted that only five starters from the 1958 team remain alive and well, and he is one of those five. And good morning to you, Dr. Bo Strange.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
Nice to see you. You look like you can still play.
Not football. No.
Well, you're...
I am in good health and appreciative.
Well, you have been an orthopedic surgeon for some time.
That's correct.
How many years?
I practiced in Baton Rouge 34 years, and I've been retired now for 15.
But you opted to go to med school rather than a chance at pro football.
I did. I was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles in 1961, ended 60 season. And at that time, really, the monetary rewards weren't like they are today. And they also, some of the fellas were really getting hurt and so forth. And I knew at that time it would be a short career. So I decided to opt for the longer career, which was medicine. My sister was in med school, and she encouraged me also. So I went to med school, and then I did an orthopedic residency in New Orleans and then came to Baton Rouge to practice in 1970.
And Bo Strange is a graduate of Baton Rouge High and was, of course, a big prep star as well. And that, at one time, as we know, was a great athletic powerhouse in addition to being an academic one. Kind of sad they don't have a football team anymore.
It is. Disappointing.
Well, Bo Strange, when you look back at 1959, we're now, 61 years removed from LSU beating Clemson in the Sugar Bowl, but it was the first championship in modern time for LSU on the football field. The Tigers trying to win their fourth in modern time tonight, and it's a great irony that all four times the season has culminated in the great city of New Orleans.
That's correct. Actually, I think they had played in the 30s, in the 35 and 36 for the national championship and in the Sugar Bowl, and they actually hadn't won. They got beat several times by TCU. So this was the first opportunity to both be national champions and win in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, one of those scores with TCU, I think, was 3-2. Tonight, I have a feeling there won't be a 3-2 final.
I don't think so either, Jim.
Well, the game has changed. You're an orthopedic surgeon, and these guys are huge. In fact, they're too big, really. Many of them are overweight. And in your day, you couldn't do that because you were playing on both sides of the ball.
That's correct.
So what would
be wrong with going back to the good old days and having players required to play offense and defense.
I just don't think they'll go that route. I think people really do enjoy the offense, and I don't think you could perform that well if you were playing both ways. In fact, the history is that you couldn't. The scoring machines they have now mm-hmm. are based on fresh people coming in and playing, and specialists in offense.
Well, that was a magical time at LSU, even though Billy Cannon's numbers obviously were suppressed because he played on both sides of the ball. To put Cannon's greatness in perspective, he was the SEC defensive back of the decade for the 1950s. In addition to being a Heisman Trophy winning running back, and he returned kicks, he did everything, and today you would not see that. But when you started that season, you were coming off a 5-5 year the year before. You had probably very little idea that it would end as it did with a championship.
That's correct. LSU had kind of been a mediocre team for about the last 5 years. I think they played in the Sugar Bowl in 1950, 49. And after that, they really just had moderate success until this year. And then this year, no one had an idea that we would be that good and that we would win all the games.
This year being 1958. But that team had a 3-point win over Florida. Mississippi State missed an extra point in the rain. Was it at Jackson or Starkville?
Jackson.
And so there were some close calls. And this team, as invincible as the Tigers of today seem, has had some close calls. 3 points over Auburn, a touchdown over Texas, 5 points over Alabama. There were some close calls along the way, as there always will be. But if Bud Johnson, our dear friend, wrote the book, The Perfect Season, if this team wins tonight, it will be the first undefeated, untied championship team for LSU since 1958, and it will be in a 15-game season rather than an 11-game season. It's a pretty special team, isn't it?
Oh, they're fun to watch. They make very few mistakes, and they work so well together as a team, and they have so much talent. It is fun to watch.
Now, I mentioned you were a defender, and Bud notes that Clemson decided its game plan was to run at you, and the final was 7-0. They must not have had much success.
No, they really didn't. They had, I think, their biggest offensive lineman were on that side, which I was defending, and they tried to double team, and they tried to power run, and they didn't have that much success on that side.
And you were a star lineman, and what were you weighing in those days?
No more than 210.
And you were probably one of the biggest guys on the team.
Well, we were all pretty close to that size. We're all about 6'1", 6'2", and about 2'5", to 2'15", something like that.
And could run.
And could run, had speed, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Bo Strange, star of the 58 team, which beat Clemson 7-0 in the, Sugar Bowl, Tulane Stadium, January 1, 1959. LSU went 11-0, won the championship. Tigers also won in 2003, beating Oklahoma in January of 04, and won in 2007, beating Ohio State in January of 08. And tonight it's Clemson-LSU. And Heather, it's nice to get a email from a female listener in Mid-City, asks if you were a protege like Dr. Cannon of Alvin Roy.
Yes, it was.
So you were lifting weights.
Yes.
And in those days, that was heresy in some places, right? They said it would tighten you up.
Misconception. There was some misconception.
Obviously a misconception.
About losing your coordination and getting muscle bound, if you will, at that time. So, and not everyone on the team was doing that. Just more or less the boys that stayed in Baton Rouge or lived in Baton Rouge and had access to Alvin's gym. And Alvin, of course, was a premier weight trainer. He had been the weight trainer for the Olympics, and he came home with some good ideas. And over the years, he developed quite a number of athletes here in Baton Rouge.
In and people started coming from all over the country to
that's right.
be tutored by him. Was he on Oklahoma Street then? Was that where
yes,
he was?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
It's a shame they tore that building down, which said Turkish Baths at the end of its run. But Alvin Roy was a pioneer in weight training, and that probably was a reason why you were so good. Your team
well,
was
he,
so good.
Well, he helped develop a lot of players, and particularly their strength and their quickness.
Well, it always takes a pioneer of sorts to have this level of success, and that was a championship team. And this year's pioneer is the passing game coordinator, Joe Brady. He took the same quarterback who last year, if he had been available for the NFL draft, might not have even been drafted, and now he's going to be the first player drafted. How much is the system responsible for what we're seeing right now?
I think a good bit, but I think Joe's innate ability and the ability of his receivers have a lot to do with it also. I think this year, after being here a year, and that Joe would have been a lot better anyway. But, of course, Coach Brady has brought out the best in all of them.
He's done a great job and apparently will be here for a while, which I'm sure LSU fans are elated about. And the Tigers this year also have been remarkably injury-free. There have not been many serious injuries. And as you as an orthopedic guy, you know that can shut you down. I heard last night when Seattle was playing Green Bay and lost 28-23 to go to the NFC Championship game, that Seattle had 17 players on injured reserve and still almost made it to the championship game of the conference. And orthopedic injuries in today's game, they come fast and furiously. And there's very little you can do to guard against something like that, isn't there?
That's right. Sometimes you use prophylactically knee braces and then arm pads mm-hmm. and things like that, but because of the size and the speed of these current players and the pace of the game, there are going to be more injuries.
And another listener notes that back in the day when Bear Bryant was coaching, both Kenny Stabler and Joe Namath tore ACLs and continued to play with knee braces. Continued to play. And, of course, their knees were destroyed. They ended up going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so they weren't destroyed. But today, with the medicine has advanced perhaps as much in the treatment for players as much as anything else. That's been a revolution too, hasn't it?
The surgical repairs that are now possible have really prolonged the careers of many of the athletes, and there were really no good answers for some of the injuries back in the day.
877-217-5757. Tonight, 7 p.m., Louisiana Superdome. LSU is 5.5-point favorite over Clemson. Clemson is no slouch. They've won 29 games in a row, and they are the defending national champions. And there's the fourth consecutive championship game that Clemson has gone to. And they have, if not the best quarterback, the second best quarterback in the land in Trevor Lawrence. And we'll talk more with Bo Strange after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Bo Strange, LSU great from 1958-59. The championship team and the near championship team. If LSU had defeated Tennessee in 1959, the Tigers would have repeated as national champions. In those days, teams were awarded the NCAA title prior to the bowl games. Billy Cannon has stated that if LSU had lost to Clemson, though, that he would not have declared himself a champion. He said, "In my mind, I never would have been a champion. That had to happen, and it did on January 1, 1959, LSU defeated Clemson 7-0. Bo Strange played offense and defense on the line, 6'2", 210 pounds, one of the biggest guys on the team. And approximately how many plays per game would you play in those days?
We generally, the starting team generally played about 70% of each quarter, and then the other platoon system played about 30%. So I would think that we'd play 70 or 80 plays in a game.
18 players on the LSU team are above 300 pounds. I count 24 above 285 pounds. And I looked, you were the heaviest guy on the team, 210, 1958. And I'm looking at you now. I can do the math. I don't know your birthday. We'll find out. But I'm guessing you're 82?
Not quite.
81?
Will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
81. You look great, though.
Thank you, Jim.
And these guys who are weighing 357 pounds, as one LSU player does, at 19 years old, what does life hold for them when they're 81, if they can make it to 81?
I think statistically, I really don't know how long they will, but health-wise, I think 350 pounds is quite a load to carry, and I'd just be dubious about being that big after my football career.
Well, you and your teammates, for the most part, have lived long lives, even though there are only five members of that team who were starters who are alive. There's you, there's Lynn LeBlanc, there's Max Fugler,
right.
There's Johnny Robinson, and there's Warren Rapp, and that's it. Now,
that's right.
Don Purvis writes in that he says 16 members of the overall team are alive. So that's about, rosters were a lot smaller, about half the team that is still alive. So that's significant, meaning all these guys now have to be over 80.
Right.
So you took good care of yourself.
Had good fortune.
But you went in the orthopedic field, of which Bo Strange practiced for many, many years. The revolution has taken place. A guy like Drew Brees, for example, in 2006, he had a complete shoulder redo. And as we know, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game. In another time, his career would have been over. What happened to propel that kind of revolution?
Well, I think the advancement in orthopedic surgery, the revolution of the treatment and the rehabilitation in the patient. I think it's really fortunate for Drew that it came that far. He has a long career, which was almost finished with his injury, with his rotator cuff injury, as I understand it.
Rotator cuff, yeah. And, you know, for a baseball pitcher, still, even now, it's pretty much curtains when a baseball pitcher tears his rotator cuff. If he comes back, he's not going to be throwing as hard
as he
did before. But this Tommy John surgery is such that players often say they're stronger after the surgery than they were before.
Correct. And that's a ligament repair. In the elbow. And if it's done properly and you have good success with that, and then the rehabilitation is the important thing, building up the muscles that support the joint.
A listener notes, too, of the camaraderie on the 58 team. That was part of the magic. And Cannon, who was on this show many times before he passed away in May of 2018, he noted that you really looked out for each other.
We were really good friends, and we talked often. And we've had a number of reunions and are all very familiar with each other and each other's families. We were just really had a lot of unity.
Well, Paul Dietzel was the head coach. Cannon was the big star. Johnny Robinson, of course, wasn't far behind. In fact, the 60 draft, Cannon's first player, and I think Robinson was the second player taken. But these guys, including our guest Bo Strange, they look like they came out of central casting. You could have been the Marlboro Man, Bo Strange.
It's the white hair.
But they were handsome, good-looking guys, and the town went wild. How was it different then than it is now? Baton Rouge was a much smaller place, maybe more insular. How was the experience at that time from a kid from this city, and you win it all in 1958?
I think the enthusiasm was the same. It's just somewhat smaller venue than today. But I think the enthusiasm of the town really took our team to heart. And the congratulations and adulations and so forth were all over the city. And it seems to be the same way now, except it's expanded so much, it's incredible. It's just engulfing the whole town and the whole state.
And if you don't win, it's kind of like not winning an election. If you don't win, it's almost a total letdown as far as the whole season. Maybe after some time, there you can put it in perspective. But there's a lot on the line tonight.
There's a lot on the line, and I think there's going to be a lot of disappointment if the team doesn't win.
Because there's also great expectation that they will, and they look invincible right now.
They do. They've been so successful, and they
just getting better too.
Seems to be. Yeah. We're just hoping.
Well, you were there, obviously, on the field in 1959. Were you there in 2004, 2008 when they won the championship?
I was there in 2004.
When Saban won.
Yeah.
Over Oklahoma.
Right.
And there are a few people who were there for all three of them. You will not go tonight, you tell me.
No, I can't go tonight.
It's hard to beat the big screen, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Well, Bo, thank you, and thanks for your contributions to our community. Fine gentleman, and the flame of the 1958 team lives with Bo Strange.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, and we're joined in our remaining moments by a gentleman who was there for all three of the championship games, a spectator, state worker for many years. He's been on this show once before, Leslie Tossan. He was there in January of 59, January of 04, January of 08. And he will be at the Superdome tonight. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Are you in New Orleans yet?
No, I'm waiting. I'm going to leave as soon as I hang up.
Well, you were, what, 12 years old in 1959 when LSU beat Clemson?
58.
Well, it was 59. It was January 1st of 59.
Well, the bowl game was 59.
I know.
Jim,
it was a season of 58.
Right.
But you were there.
I know. Yeah, I was there. Yes, sir.
Well, how was that experience in the Sugar Bowl at that time?
It was great. There was over 86,000 people there, the largest crowd, and it broke the record, you know. When LSU first played Tulane to win it, then they beat Tulane 62-0. Not too tight.
Yeah, in that same 58 season, yeah.
And then, right, and then the polls came out the next week, and LSU was number one. Then the Sugar Bowl invited LSU and Clemson to play in the Sugar Bowl. So even if Clemson would have beat us 50-0, LSU was still the national champion. But they didn't beat us.
Technically.
It was a great – I went to that game, too. And it was a great defensive game. 7-0, LSU won. Billy Cannon threw a pass with 2.5 minutes to go, and we won by 7-0.
Well, LSU also beat Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
And beat Ohio State. And
right.
You were there for both of those championship
yes,
games.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So there aren't many who've been there for all three. Now, were you there when LSU lost to Alabama on
no,
January 9th, 2012?
I was not there. I could not get a ticket for that game. I was not there. So I've been telling everybody, and I was going to try to get Coach O, that if you want to assure a victory, just get me a ticket to the game.
Did he do it?
Because no, I didn't have to do that. I got one legally through the system, okay? But I missed the fifth game in 2011, and I say that's why LSU lost. But I'm going tonight, and Lord willing, I can assure everybody, LSU will be victorious.
Now, Leslie, I think you're around 73. You're going to be partying
that's
in
right,
the French
exactly.
Quarter. You're going to be partying in the French Quarter if they win?
I certainly am. I will be at Pat O'Brien's at 3 o'clock this afternoon to meet a group of friends.
So you're going to get ready.
Got to get ready. That's my routine. I went to the Saints games for 15 years. My routine was always go get a hurricane at Pat O'Brien's before the game.
And you're going to get a hurricane after the game, I suspect.
Either
way.
Victory, I think I will. I'll have to. I'll have to fight myself over because this will most probably be my last rodeo.
Well, the President of the United States will be there.
That's
I'm sure
great.
There will be a traffic jam. LSU fans had to rethink about the traffic, and we're getting
right.
rooms. And I'm surprised, Leslie, that you can get rooms in New Orleans for fairly low prices right now.
Yeah, I got my room yesterday, Jim, for $122 at 4 blocks from the Superdome.
You know, they hate it when LSU comes because the fans
yeah.
don't come and stay. That's always right. a letdown for the New Orleans hotel industry.
Yes,
and you're 4 blocks from the dome at $122.
Right, the Holiday Inn Select right behind Walk-Ons.
Well, you can invest that extra cash that you would have spent
at Pat O'Brien's.
Pat O'Brien's. Well, Leslie Tossan, thanks for joining us. And we'll
thank
see.
You, Jim. And all I can say is go Tigers, the real Tigers, not the fake ones.
Not the fake ones. And the real Death Valley, not the fake one, even though Clemson was there first, at least with a name. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and stay tuned.